This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 27th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, Chicago Cardinal Francis George is diagnosed with bladder cancer. And a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. Authorities in Vermilion County this morning are expected to release the results of an autopsy with hopes of piecing together why Ryan Ketcher's truck was found at the bottom of a pond at Kickapoo State Park. The body of the missing University of Illinois student was found inside the vehicle Tuesday night. Ryan Ketcher had been missing since November 5th of 2000. Vermilion County Coroner Peggy Johnson says while authorities in Bloomington may not be able to pinpoint the exact cause of death, several potential causes could be ruled out. She says the body was preserved well in the truck, benefiting from the water's cold temperature. Ketcher's truck was discovered after Vermilion County's Emergency Management Agency was testing new equipment on the pond late Monday night. The side-scanning sonar sends out signals, which are bounced back if any large objects are detected. The County Sheriff Pat Hartshorn says the ESA just happened to choose the right body of water.
The selection of that pond was strictly random, and they were only trying to check the equipment out to actually get good at operating it. And they just happened to see this image on the bottom when they were basically shaking the equipment down.
Hartshorn says he had long suspected areas near Kickapoo State Park in the connection with the disappearance. The Oakwood native was last seen at a home on Hemming Road on the east side of Kickapoo Park. A skydiver has died while taking part in Rantoul's World Freefall Convention. The Champaign County Coroner's Office says 57-year-old Mark Foster of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, was killed when he hit a parked vehicle as he was attempting to land his parachute. An inquest into Foster's death will be scheduled for a later date. Foster is the sixth skydiver to die at the convention since it moved to Rantoul in 2002. Champaign and University of Illinois officials hope a new conference center and hotel on the U of I South campus can attract business that Champaign-Urbana has been missing. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Champaign and U of I officials say the conference center is designed to host mid-sized professional conferences for 200 to 700 people. Clark Wise, director of U of I Capital Programs, says it's a category of conference that Champaign-Urbana has missed out on for several years.
And these conferences are not the 5,000 or 6,000 person conferences, but the 400 and 500 and even 300 and down that way, where there's very special groups that talk about unique subjects, and they need to get together and collaborate. And we're gonna try to go after those kinds of groups.
Wise and other officials outlined the conference center plans at Tuesday's Champaign City Council study session. The city is backing the project with tax rebates. The conference center will be built with an upscale hotel and restaurant next door, but Champaign Deputy City Manager for Development Craig Rost says because of the new hotel size, nearby hotels will benefit from the conference center as well. Construction work on the project is set to begin later this year. The conference center and hotel could open in the fall of 2007. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Students attending Illinois public colleges and universities who were previously ineligible for state aid can expect help from a new program. It's expected 70,000 sophomores, juniors, and seniors will qualify and get state help paying their tuition. Under the MAP Plus program, those whose adjusted family income is $200,000 or less are supposed to get grants, but that's contingent on the state either selling off or restructuring its portfolio of student loans. Director of the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, Larry Matica, says although that hasn't happened, scholars will still get the help.
I think we're going to get it to them in the fall. I think we'll be able to, it'll be late fall probably.
Previously, lawmakers maintained that if that weren't done by the time school starts, students would see less money. Matica says a loan sell-off or restructuring is still in the works. Chicago aldermen voted 35-14 Wednesday in favor of the so-called Big Box Ordinance. The measure applies to large retailers like Walmart and Target and requires them to ramp up their minimum worker pay and benefits. The requirements will be phased in over the next few years. By 2010, large retailers will have to pay workers at least $10 per hour, and give them at least $3 per hour in benefits. Aldermen debated the issue for more than 3 hours. Alderman Fredrina Lyle says she thinks Chicago residents would work for less money, but said she thinks the ordinance is necessary.
People will do anything when they are hungry enough. People will drink anything when they are thirsty enough. They will drink salt water. But that doesn't mean we as a government should give it to them.
Alderman approved the big box ordinance despite opposition from Mayor Richard Daley, who says it will push business away from poor areas. There are some questions about whether the mayor might veto the measure. The numbers of yesterday's vote indicate enough support to override a veto. The U.S. Olympic Committee has spoken, and Chicago has officially moved a step closer to hosting the Olympic Games in 2016. Sean Ali has more.
The International Olympic Committee's Bob Cerlich says the city that works just might work as a host city.
Chicago put forth a very bold and innovative plan.
Cerlich was mum on what made Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco so competitive among U.S. cities. But Cerlich and others were clear they disliked portions of Chicago's bid. In particular, they said the city's plan to host opening and closing ceremonies in two separate stadiums at the same time just won't fly.
But we felt that given feedback, given some work, assuming that political will is there, that they can revise their plans to be satisfactory to the international sports movement.
To stay in the running, Chicago will have to submit its revised plan this fall. I'm Sean Ali.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. The Archdiocese of Chicago has announced that Cardinal Francis George has bladder cancer. He's undergoing a 6-hour operation this morning to remove his bladder. The surgery is taking place at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. Jason DeRose reports.
Cardinal Francis George noticed blood in his urine several weeks ago. Doctors then performed a biopsy and found cancer. They expect the cardinal to make a full recovery. The cardinal spoke briefly Wednesday afternoon as he was heading from his residence to the hospital. He remains in good spirits, but says he is mindful that illness and death are parts of life.
You live with death, not only in ministry, because you minister to a lot of people who are very seriously ill, but also in meditation. You meet the Lord in prayer every day. And so the idea of meeting him is, while disquieting, not something that I think I'm afraid of.
He opted for complete removal of his bladder instead of chemotherapy alone because there's a better success rate with the combined treatment. Depending on how the operation goes, doctors will either construct a new bladder out of intestinal tissue or fit the cardinal with an external artificial bladder. He'll then spend 8 to 10 days at Loyola University Medical Center and then another 6 to 8 weeks recuperating at his residence. In the meantime, the Archdiocese Vicar General, Father John Canary, and Chancellor Jimmy Legault will run the day-to-day operations of the church. Outside Holy Name Cathedral Wednesday evening, Catholic faithful gathered to show their support for the cardinal. 18-year-old Daniel Albaron and some of his family members visiting from Mexico decided to pray for the cardinal as soon as they heard of his diagnosis.
The message I would send to Cardinal George is to get better because this community needs him. He's a good guy.
Albaron attended a Catholic high school, and his graduation ceremony this spring took place at Holy Name Cathedral. Also praying there was Father Thomas Bema, the provost of Mundelein Seminary.
You know, we're with him. We're there in prayer. I'm certainly going to be offering Mass for him tomorrow morning as he begins his medical treatment, as I know that Catholics throughout Chicago are going to do what Catholics do when someone's sick. We're going to gather together and we're going to pray.
Both the noon and 5 o'clock Masses today at Holy Name Cathedral will be said for Cardinal George, and a vigil begins there at 6 o'clock this evening. It will continue until the following morning. The 69-year-old Cardinal has led Chicago area Catholics since April of 1997, after the death of Cardinal Joseph Bernardine. Cardinal George currently serves as the Vice President of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. I'm Jason DeRose.
And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, partly sunny with a 50% chance of thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s, south winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s, light winds. Friday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Highs around 90. Light winds. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 27, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.